Welcome to Health First. I'm your guest host, Gary Kibsey. I'm filling in for Dave Fuller. So Dave's not here again. On this week's show, we're going to be talking to Dr. Julian Whitaker about diabetes, heart disease, cancer. If we get that far, he's a wealth of knowledge. And in the second half hour, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, a medical doctor who has written a book questioning vaccine safety and effectiveness. But before all of that, here's Alan Wishart with the health news.
Women prescribed a common class of antidepressants to ease menopausal symptoms may face a long-term rise in their risk for bone fracture, a new study suggests. The antidepressants in question are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as Celexa, Paxil, Prozac, and Zoloft. Besides being used to treat depression, these drugs are often prescribed as an alternative to hormone replacement therapy to tackle hot flashes, night sweats, and other problems that can accompany menopause. However, a team led by Dr. Matthew Miller of Northeastern University says the drugs appear to increase fracture risk among middle-aged women without psychiatric disorders. The author acknowledged their work did not establish a direct cause and effect link. The findings were published in the June 25th issue of the journal Injury Prevention. Nutrition experts in the United States are hailing a federal decision to drop recommended restrictions on total fat consumption in the forthcoming Dietary Guidelines for Americans. Dr. Darius Mazafarian, dean of Tufts University's Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy, says over the past decade, research has shown a diet rich in healthy fats can be better for people, especially if those foods offset consumption of foods containing high levels of salt, sugar, and refined grains. That prompted scientists on the committee preparing the guidelines to abandon the current restrictions on dietary fat. The technical report, released earlier this year, did not propose restricting total fat consumption, the first time that has happened since 1980. A British study has found men are less likely than women to reach 100, but those who do tend to be healthier than their female peers. Women are four times more likely to hit 100, but are also more likely to suffer broken bones or develop more than one chronic health problem, such as incontinence or loss of vision or hearing. Study author Nisha Hazra of King's College London said they found a surprising number of 100-year-olds who had no major illnesses. With the number of people reaching 100 continuing to increase, the study said, it becomes more important to understand the evolving healthcare needs of the oldest old. The study was published in the June 22nd issue of the Journal of the American Geriatric Society. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, best known for treating the bends in scuba divers, may also help women with fibromyalgia. A small study found a majority of the women who underwent the treatments experienced relief from pain and other symptoms. Study author Dr. Shay Efrati of the Segal Center for Hyperbaric Medicine and Research in Israel said 70% of the patients could not be characterized as suffering from fibromyalgia at the end of the treatment. The study included 48 women who had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia at least 2 years earlier. The research is published in the June issue of the journal PLOS ONE.
Hi, welcome back to Health First, and we were supposed to be talking to Dr. Julian Whitaker, and we are still working on a contact there. So I guess I will tell you what I do know of this man, and hopefully he'll contact us. Dr. Julian Whitaker started out as a doctor. He came out of his typical medical practice, I believe, in 76 is when he began his medical practice. And he had an awakening to health, being sound health being brought about by natural means to be more effective than medical pharmaceutical per se. Not to say that he threw out the pharmaceutical aspect, but he certainly pioneered going into the alternative type medicine. So,
okay, Gary, I'm going to pop in here and just let you know that Dr. Whitaker has not, we have not been able to get a hold of him. They put me on hold, so what can you do? So what we're going to do is we're going to replay a segment from a previous show where Dave was actually talking to Richard Fastwater. So here it is from back February 2nd of this year.
Well, our next guest, Richard Fastwater, is a researcher. He's written 90 articles, co-authored a couple peer-reviewed scientific studies, and he's an inventor with 3 patents. Richard Fastwater, welcome to the show. Are you a doctor?
No, there's 2 of us, Richard Fastwaters.
Right.
My father's the famous good-looking doctor. And I'm the taller one. If you see us together, you can tell us apart that way.
But well, I looked on the internet. I looked on the internet, and I looked at your father. I didn't think he was that good looking.
Well, it's all relative compared to me.
Okay, well, that's true. I haven't seen your picture, so. Hey, so tell us a little bit about some of the research you're doing.
Well, I am very fortunate. I get an opportunity for the last 10 or 11 years. I've worked with BioMinerals NV. We're a Belgian-based company, and we study connective tissue. And it's been a great opportunity for me, and I'm fascinated with especially collagen and elastin, two proteins that the body uses to form the framework of all connective tissue in the body.
Okay, so I had a friend that was out skiing last week, and she her knee buckled, so her knee popped right out and buckled. Is that a problem with collagen or elasticity?
It can certainly be. Sometimes, you know, a ski accident can really put some acute trauma on a tissue, and the tissue's flexibility and its strength and integrity basically are coming from collagen-based tissues. As an example, the cartilage that's on the end of the long bones that allows the bones to glide instead of grind across one another is generally about 70% collagen. And the tendons that hold muscles to the bone are about 80% collagen, and the ligaments that directly connect the bones together and also form capsules for synovial fluid around the synovial joints, such as the knee and the shoulder. They're about 90% collagen. So these tissues that are maintaining the integrity of the joint are certainly collagen-based tissues, yes, sir.
So does our body stop producing collagen, or sorry, slow down the production of collagen as we age?
Unfortunately, collagen is one of my favorite things to talk about, and there's so many good things about it. Often I talk about it so much my wife asks me to stop. And then I talk about baseball, and she puts up with that for about 30 seconds before she asks me to talk about collagen again. But one of the downsides, really the only downside to it, is collagen production maxes out when somebody's about 21 years old. Mm. And all through our adult life, collagen production and collagen content in our bodies typically go downhill. The average loss is about 1% per year. And you and I are fortunate. We're being guys, we start with about 15% more collagen at age 21 than women do. So it gives us about a 15% or a 15-year advantage in aging, the same problems that women collagen-wise have to deal with in their mid-50s and late 50s, early 60s. Men don't have to deal with through our late 60s and well into our 70s.
So I'm sure, sorry, Richard, I'm sure that there's a lot of women just listening to you right there and saying, hey, what can I do to gain that 15 years back on my husband?
I'm a big believer that the key to keeping collagen production high is to give your body the nutrients that it needs to make its own collagen. And the two nutrients that do the heavy lifting in collagen production are vitamin C, ascorbic acid, and orthosilicic acid, the biologically relevant form of silicon. And I here at BioMinerals, we work heavily with the orthosilicic acid component. We have a product called BioSil, which is clinically proven to activate the biological pathways that make new collagen. And I always recommend it being taken with a good vitamin C source, such as the Dr. Gifford Jones Medi-C Plus. The body uses the two enzymes or the two nutrients I just mentioned, vitamin C and orthosilicic acid found in BioSil. They activate enzymes in the body that make collagen by linking together amino acids. Depending on the type of collagen, there's between 18 and 20 amino acids in there. But the three critical ones, in my opinion, are the amino acid L-glycine, the amino acid L-proline, which BioSil helps your body make, and then L-lysine, which has to be obtained from the diet. And oftentimes, especially people on vegetarian diets, are very deficient. And the Medi-C Plus product has L-lysine in it as well. So that's one of the reasons I recommend that as an excellent vitamin C source.
So what do people notice if their collagen, you know, if their body is slowing down in the production of collagen? What would they notice?
Well, you can observe the collagen the easiest in the skin. The skin's about 75% collagen, and the collagen gives skin its elasticity, its integrity, keeps skin thick and plump and supple. And it's also what reflects light from the skin. About 90% of the light that hits the outside, the epidermis of the skin, actually goes through it into the dermis. And the more collagen people have in the dermis, the more light reflection they have back. So the more glow or alive their skin looks. And as people lose collagen, they usually observe it first in the skin. The skin loses elasticity. It starts to sag a little bit. Micro wrinkles that are on all skin, even young infants, as the collagen content decreases, those micro wrinkles deepen and become more noticeable wrinkles. And also the skin becomes dull and reflects less light, and it becomes more gray as well as less blood flow goes through the skin.
What about in the winter, you know, how people get cracking skin? Does that have anything to do with collagen?
It can be a breakdown of collagen. It can also have to do with the barrier layer of the skin, which is formed from different types of fats and another protein that's similar to collagen called keratin that forms sort of a coating in the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, that keeps moisture from evaporating. And often the cracking of the skin can be caused from a breakdown of that keratin and that outer fatty layer, the lipid layer of the epidermis.
And so you said that if you know, somebody's starting to get wrinkles or they're starting to look wrinkly, you know, they're starting to lose that shine maybe to their skin or their hair, that's an indicator that they need to help their body produce more collagen. Now, what about you know, joint problems? You know, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, like when somebody's, you know, starting to, you know, get those injuries as a result of you know, ligaments or tendons.
Well, it's very interesting that the collagen tissues in the body generally all respond somewhat similarly to one another. And as you see the collagen in the skin decreasing, it's a good sign that the collagen in the bones, which are about 30% collagen, and the joint tissues and the veins and arteries are also decreasing as well. There was a study that was done up your way at Yale University where they took a look at women who were in their 50s, and they took a look at the skin of these women on their face, and they noticed that the women that had deeper wrinkles on their face had lower bone mineral density all throughout their body, and the women that had better skin elasticity on their face had better bone mineral density and better bone mineral content throughout their body. And this was similar with their earlier studies where they looked at autopsies and also different subgroups of people, and they noticed that people that had poor collagen in their skin also had less and poorer collagen in their bones and joints. So these tissues generally respond somewhat similarly to one another. As an example, the average woman loses about 7% of her skin thickness every 10 years, and the average woman loses about 8 or 9% of her bone mineral density every 10 years as well. Mm. And women have it a little bit rougher than men when it comes to collagen loss. They not only start with less collagen when they're 21, when the collagen production starts to back off, but women also lose collagen in a more erratic or streaky type fashion than men do. Men, we lose about 1% per year all throughout our adult life, and I think it really helps us deal with aging. There's never a time that we look that much different than we looked a year or two before, unless we do something crazy that is going to stimulate things that destroy collagen, like pump up our stress hormone levels or let our homocysteine levels get out of control, or we start smoking cigarettes or something and get bombard our bodies with free radicals. But men generally lose collagen very evenly throughout our lives. Where women, estrogen keeps collagen production high. So a young woman's usually making much more collagen than a man the same age. So, for example, a 27 or 30 or 32-year-old woman's making much more collagen than a man that same age. But as women get into their mid and late 30s, their collagen production starts to drop off. And most women go through a phase in their early 40s where collagen production for a year or two or even three will start to really decrease rapidly. And actually, most cosmetic research is done on women in their early 40s because it's a time in a woman's life where the skin is changing quite rapidly. But the time in somebody's life where the collagen loss is actually at the greatest is in the first 5 years after menopause. The average woman loses 30% of the collagen in her body during the first 5 years after menopause. And you can see it easiest in the skin, but the same thing's happening all throughout the body. It's in the bones and the joints and in the framework of all the tissues, connective tissue in the body.
We're talking with Richard Passwater. We're talking about collagen and its impact on your body and your wrinkles. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out how you can look younger and feel younger.